We have the cards here for you to take and remember to pray for us. There's also a card here about our ministry, and you'll know more about this after I get done tonight, but I just want to encourage you to take these things to remember us. And then we did get these in. These are six DVDs of our presentations, so this would be recorded live services with the PowerPoint slides and quotes and all of that. So it includes a walk through the founding documents, the one on socialism, and also the spiritual war for the nations, which is a lot of quotes from our founders, as well as Marxists and, Lenin, a lot of those kind of people, Saul Alinsky even, and others. So it's a lot of information, and want to make that available to you. Hope it'll be a blessing. Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 2 and see if everything's working here. Okay, I don't know if it's me. Oh, I see something on the back. All right, here we go. Yes, here we go. All right. Before we jump into this, let's pray. Ask the Lord to bless our time together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for health and life that we enjoy. And we do ask that your Spirit would guide us as we consider the Word. Lord, we thank you for our country. We thank you for those that have gone before us who had great vision, who had the ability to see what was going on spiritually and pull out these principles and establish a nation that was not started by a dictator taking over people, but started by the people who decided to put these leaders in charge for short periods of time. Lord, we just are amazed at what they did, and we're so thankful, so grateful we get to live here and be a part of this. And Lord, that we've enjoyed the fruit of their sacrifices so many years ago. Help us, Lord, in this generation to understand that Satan never rests, that he never gives up. He's constantly working to deceive our young people. And though he may have Hollywood, he may have the schools, he may have the media, but he does not have the truth. And I pray that you'd help us tonight to understand there are truths that simply are not going to go away. And I pray that you would embolden us with these truths. And it seems governments rise and fall, people come and go, fads and all of that come and go, but the truth remains. And Lord, may we build our lives on the solid truth of your word. Please bless the service now tonight, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says quite a bit about nations and two nations, and I'll just mention the first time that nations is ever spoken of in the Bible is in Genesis 10 and 11, same time that you hear about Nimrod. So the Bible says that the whole world spoke one language, and Nimrod was a strong, mighty man who was able. Tyrant is actually in the Hebrew definition of a great and mighty hunter that describes Nimrod. But whatever he was able to get mankind together under his power and influence to build this tower in defiance to God. And God judged all of that by doing what? Confusing their languages, right? So now instead of one language, there's thousands. We don't know exactly how many, hundreds, thousands. But instantly, man is speaking different languages, which is kind of interesting. Evolution really has no explanation for that. I got interested once, thought I'll just look that up and see what they say about that. Because the Bible tells us, what do they think? And there's like 10 different theories because they can't settle on anything that actually makes sense. In fact, the articles went on to say they can't even explain why we have one language compared to the animal kingdom, and let alone thousands. But the Bible tells us God did that. Now, in Genesis 10 verse 5, the Bible says that they broke up into nations according to their languages. So there's several things going on there. First of all, God is making it that much harder for a tyrant to ever rule the whole globe because he's got to get through all these language barriers. So it was really firewalls against tyranny, global tyranny. Another thing is God forced us to scatter out, which man wasn't doing very good at that at that time. So we scattered. Then it forced us to have local governments. So he said in Genesis 9, you need governments. You need to organize. You need to find a way to catch the bad guy and execute justice on him. But this forced us to have smaller local governments. And isn't it always better to have people you know legislating and enforcing rules as opposed to someone on the other side of the globe that doesn't know you or anything about you? Now, here's the thing. Nations were God's idea. Because man wasn't spreading out like he was supposed to. Man was more than happy to stay there in one unit. God said, no, I want you to spread out and inhabit the earth. And so nations were God's idea. I saw one of these protest rallies the other night, and a college kid was holding a banner up or a placard. It said, no borders, no nations. And I thought, I wonder where he got that. Because that's not from God. God's idea was, it's going to be much better for you to govern yourselves in smaller groups. And that's why a nation really ought to have a national language. Amen? Here's the thing. You can't communicate and have a community. You can't have a community if you can't communicate. You've got to be able to converse with each other and be civil and work things out. And you can't do that without a common language. And the whole basis of nations was language. So, God gave us government. God gave us nations. And then God gives us Israel. Genesis 12, the very next chapter. Abraham, come out. I'm going to make of thee a great nation. And through you, we're going to bless all the nations. And so God chose a miracle nation, right? Abraham and Sarah were old, had this child, it was a miracle. And God birthed a nation that would be different from all the other people groups or nations. And through that nation, he would give us the scriptures, he would give us the Savior, but he would also teach us powerful lessons as to how God is going to deal with these communities, these nations. So, here in Psalm 2, we started it this morning, but I want you to look towards the end. Look at verse number 10. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. So, these kings who don't want the Creator and don't want Jesus Christ, they could learn. Have you heard the phrase, stuck on stupid? They don't have to be stuck on stupid. They don't have to stay in that rut. They can actually learn. Kind of reminds me of Proverbs 1 where the Bible says, hey, if you're simple, if you're foolish, come. There's hope for you. Read God's Word. You can get some wisdom. Make your life a whole lot better. And so he's saying in verse 10, be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. And then he says in verse 11 regarding the Lord or Jehovah, the self-existing one, serve him. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. You want to have joy? You want to rejoice? Fear God. And this is directed at kings, isn't it? Nations. Then what does he say about the anointed one? Look at verse 12. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Come to Jesus. Don't reject him. If he is the way, the truth, and the life, if he is God's anointed, only begotten Son, don't use his name as a curse word. You better come to him. Connect and trust him. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And again, this is directed at nations. He's saying blessed is any nation that will put their trust in Jesus. Now, you can't force every citizen to get saved. And we're not talking about some kind of theocracy. You know, where at gunpoint, we're going to make you do these religious things. All he's saying is, if there's any nation out there that'll acknowledge the Creator, teach their people to serve the Lord, and they won't be ashamed of Jesus, and they'll pray in Jesus' name, you know, if they'll come to Jesus and not be ashamed of that, they're going to be blessed. Now, this was 3,000 years ago. America is 200 years old. These are not American verses, are they? This isn't some American way of looking at it. These are just universal, timeless Bible truths that God's been trying to tell all nations from the very beginning of nations. Trust me. Honor me. and you'll be blessed. Blessed there means fruitful. It means overflowing, prosperous. It's the opposite of vain back there in verse 1. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? Vain is just empty. It doesn't work. Don't be stuck on that. Honor the Lord and He'll bless your nation. Let's look at another one. That would be Psalm 9. Again, this is directed at nations again. You can see several references to it. Verse number 15, the heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, or these Gentile nations. In the net which they hid is their own foot taken. The Lord is known by the judgment which He executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of His hands. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. So the Bible is warning nations. By the way, there's 196 of them right now. People groups on this planet. Any one of these nations, if they'll bless the Lord and trust Jesus Christ, they'll be blessed. Any one of these nations, if they choose to forget God, will be judged. And forget doesn't, it can mean, there's a couple different words for forget in the Bible. Sometimes it's the idea that I just forgot. Oops, you know. Mostly though, it's I will not think about it. It's an act of the will, like Romans 1. We will not give God the glory. We don't want to retain God in our knowledge. We are choosing to forget God. That's what freedom from religion is all about. We don't want to hear about God. We're choosing to not think about Him. What happens to those kind of nations? They get judged. Let's go forward to Psalm 33. You're familiar with this, but we'll look at it anyway here. Psalm 33. I like the way God always refers to Himself as the Creator, because, I mean, that's the final authority. I mean, whoever made it gets to make the rules. And in verse number 6, He says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. All you people, all you different nations and groups, stand in awe of Him, the Creator that made every one of you. Then He goes on. The Lord bringeth, for He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to nothing, to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. It's not going to work. They're spinning their wheels. And by the way, you know, it's just amazing that website talked about socialism doesn't really work, never has, but we are going to keep on trying. You know, why are you stuck on something that doesn't work? You know, but that's man. You know, if you don't have God, if you're not going to turn to God, you've got to turn to whatever else. And if that's the best you can come up with, even if it doesn't work, evolution doesn't work. You can't have everything exploding out of nothing. And then organizing itself into marvelous, wonderful organisms, it really doesn't work. But if that's all you've got, you reject God, that's what you're left with. So it's just interesting that man thinks this way. But verse 11 says, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. That's what's eternal. That's what's true. The thoughts of His heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That word nation there is referring to Gentile nations. And He's basically saying any of these people groups that will acknowledge the God will be blessed. Let's go to one more. Psalm 117. This is the shortest chapter, if you will, in the Bible. Psalm 117. And might be a great one to memorize if you want to be able to say you memorized the whole chapter. Two verses. Just don't get it mixed up with Psalm 119 right there across the page. So he says, in the shortest chapter of the Bible, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Again, the Bible's saying to nations, trust God, praise Him. Why not, as a people, say, our default setting is We know there's a creator, and we're going to acknowledge him. And, you know, we can't force you to do this, but we're going to have National Days of Prayer and trust that as many of you as will join us. Because that nation is going to be blessed. And that's clear throughout Scripture. I just pulled out a few here. But all through, there's commands about nations. And sometimes we neglect this, you know, in our Christian theology and everything. We don't really focus on this thing of nations, but God gave us nations for our good, and then he gave us commands as to how to have a good one. So every one of us ought to be concerned about our people group, wherever it is, because that's where we live, and that's where our kids live. And the policies and philosophies of that government are going to affect my everyday life. And I've only got a few years to live on this earth. I want this to be a good experience. And that's exactly what our founders felt too. They felt like, you know, read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. After 1,500 years of feeding people to lions, burning them alive, decapitating them, disemboweling them in front of their kids, dragging them behind horses till they're dead, making public examples out of pastors and people that print Bibles and missionaries. And after 1,500 years of that, they said, enough is enough. We need a nation that falls in line with God's word. Is it possible? Could it be done? And as a result, we're sitting here tonight. Alexis de Tocqueville called America the freest and most enlightened nation on the earth. He was a Frenchman, you know, in the early 1800s. Wrote Democracy in America, and he said, this is the freest, most enlightened nation on the earth. Margaret Thatcher said, there's no other country in the world that's been formed like yours, speaking to America. We're your founders, taking God's principles from God's word, formed their own government. I mean, sometimes we live in this and take it for granted and just kind of assume it's always been this way, or that, you know, every nation is as good as we are or better, and, you know, as well off and as free. But honestly, this is the exception. Now, I find it fascinating here that God said, you know, I'll give you this instruction, and if you'll do it, it'll work. Our founders claim these promises. Did it work? It would be really hard to argue that it didn't work. I mean, just look at the evidence. Look, out of this wilderness rose up this industrial superpower, economic superpower, military superpower, missionary sending superpower. It'd be hard to argue that it didn't work and that God didn't bless. Now, here's Benjamin Franklin. He said, it's the duty of mankind on all suitable occasions to acknowledge their dependence on the divine being so that Almighty God would mercifully interpose and still the rage of war among the nations. Isn't that something? It was Benjamin Franklin, the deist of the group, they say. You know, and I don't really have good evidence that he ever got saved. There's a lot of letters he wrote. Actually, Whitfield was a good friend of his. And, you know, I believe with all my heart Benjamin Franklin heard the gospel. I hope he got saved before he died. But we don't know that. But even him and Jefferson and the very few that don't have a clear Christian testimony, because 52 out of the 56 signers did have a clear Christian testimony. But these few that didn't, look at their worldview still. It was Benjamin Franklin that was the one that stood up at the Constitutional Convention and said, wait a minute, we've been fighting for weeks, 5-6 weeks. We didn't pray. People were getting mad and leaving. And he's the one that said, how do we think we're going to do this without God's help? He said, the longer I live, the more convinced I am that God rules in heaven and he deals with the affairs of men. I don't know what kind of deism that is. But he is involved in the affairs of men. He said, during the Revolutionary War, we prayed in this room many times. And everyone here knows God heard those prayers. How do we think we're going to write the rules for our new country now and not pray? We'll be no better than the builders of Babel. That's pretty powerful stuff coming from Benjamin Franklin. But there was a moment in time where they said, you know what? We do believe in God. We better acknowledge him. You know, he said, I move that we open our sessions with prayer and get God in on this. They did that. About 3 weeks later, they were done. And they had written the world's most influential political document ever. And by the mid-1900s, out of 190 nations at that time, 170 of them had modeled their constitutions after ours. And that's influence. That's an amazing... You know, we went from a world of kings and monarchs to a world of constitutions because of what these guys did. But he's saying it's our duty. We've got to acknowledge God. I like this one from George Washington. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. It is our duty. I mean, you know, it's just what we've got to do. He created us. Why wouldn't we acknowledge Him? It's our obligation. We're His created beings. They understood these principles and concepts of what a nation... A nation is just a people group. It's just a bunch of people that want to have civil laws and function together and live and protect each other. But that people group needs to acknowledge God if they want to be blessed. Here's John Adams, our second president. The safety and prosperity of nations ultimately and essentially depend on the protection of the blessing of Almighty God. That's what it all boils down to, our dependence on God. Here's James Madison, who wrote the Constitution, basically. I mean, he is the author primarily of it. He said, "That Almighty Being whose power regulates the destiny of nations, to whom we are bound to address our devout gratitude for the past, as well as our fervent supplications and best hopes for the future." Also one of our presidents later. But he said, you know, it's our duty, it's the right thing to do, and as a nation, we're going to do it. Now, isn't that inspiring? These guys, you know, the revisionists are trying to rob all of this from us. But they were absolutely in unity about this. We've got to acknowledge God. And yes, we ought to pray. And you know, Congress has been opening with prayer for 230 years, ever since Benjamin Franklin made that speech. So, our founders acknowledged this truth. Let me go on. Here's President Eisenhower, many years later, said the most powerful weapon any people can have is truth. If we ever find ourselves in a position where we cannot tell the truth or where we feel that the telling will injure us, we will have sacrificed that most powerful weapon. He's basically saying the hope for America is this thing of truth. Don't ever apologize for truth. Don't ever get intimidated to where, oh, no, you can't say that. That might hurt someone's feelings. That might be considered hate speech. If we ever get to that point, he says it's over. He understood that truth brings freedom. And as long, you know, let the Muslims come, let the, vet them, of course, but, you know, there's nothing wrong with Hindus and even atheists and Marxists from China. In our church there in Rolla, we had, you know, a Hindu saved. We got to baptize him about a year ago, a college student. We had a guy from Russia got saved, had several from China. I mean, Marxists, their parents were in the government, on the government payroll. And these kids were getting saved, and their parents ended up getting saved. You know, the problem isn't all these other religions coming in as long as we can teach the truth. The problem is when we are silenced and all these influences are coming in and we can't speak out anymore, it won't work. We will lose it. But I'm not afraid of any of those faith systems because I believe we've got the truth. The one guy from Iran, we had a young man that got saved from Iran, grew up Muslim, the whole deal. And he said, you know, I read the Bible, and it speaks to me. I read the Quran, nothing. I go back and read the Bible, it just speaks to me. I go back and read the Quran, nothing. Took him 3 years, but he got saved finally. And just an amazing, powerful testimony. So he's just saying, look, America, stand for truth. Speak the truth in love, but speak the truth. It's our only hope. I love this quote from Benjamin Franklin again. A Bible and a newspaper in every house, a good school in every district, all studied and appreciated as they merit, are the principal support of civil liberty or freedom. Now, what kind of worldview is that? He said, we need in every home across this nation to make sure there is a Bible and a newspaper. You need to know what God said about all this, and you need to know what's going on down at the State House. And as long as everyone's informed, we'll be okay. That is the principal support of freedom. He went on to say this, it's in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. When you reach that tipping point where there's more people who don't have a clue than the people who do have a clue, that's where tyranny begins. We talked about that spiritual blindness, that ignorance. How can you not get it? Well, when there's enough people that don't get it, tyranny, big government, all-powerful leaders take advantage of that. They don't want the people to be educated, especially with Bibles, the truth, because that tells that tells on them, and it tells us that our rights come from the Creator, not from the majority vote or from the king. And they despise that. So that's pretty fascinating. Now, I'm just going to say this. Our generation today obviously needs truth. And we're the pillar and ground of the truth. This is our job to pray and say, all right, Lord, we don't know what we can do, but help us to do something. I don't know how many times our little church there in Rolla, you know, we would get burdened about this stuff. And I said, I know, we're just one little church, you know, down here in the middle of Missouri, out in the middle of this big, giant nation. I don't know that we can make any difference. I don't know what we can do. But, you know, God began to work in us about having this picnic, and that's kind of what got us going, this rally that we had. We did that for 7 years. The first year was 400 people, rained the entire time of the rally. The rain started at 5, which is when our rally started, and the rain quit at 8. Which is when our rally ended. I thought, what was that, Lord? I can't believe that, you know. But this is what happened. I don't know if he's testing our faith or what. But the kids loved it because all the inflatables turned into giant water slides. And they had the time of their life. That was the best one of all. But, you know, we had 1,000 the next year and 1,500. Our big year, we had 5,000 people. Just a little church trying to, you know, get truth out into our community. That's just something God put on our heart to do. I'm not saying every church can or would do that. But it is our job to get the truth to this generation. I don't know. You know, how many college kids, it just breaks my heart to hear, you know, there's 30,000 kids at this school and 50,000 kids at that school and 28,000 at that school, and know that they're not hearing the truth. What are we going to do? We have, you know, truth's powerful. And there, here's the good thing about truth that the Lord kind of just reminded me of. Truth can undo years of lies. You know, when you hear the gospel, how long does that take to present the gospel? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, stretch it out to 40. It doesn't take that long. And yet, what kind of difference does that truth make? It can undo years of lies and change your eternity for a million years, I mean, and plus. That's the power of that little 10-minute message. That's the power of truth. We were given this socialism talk in Tennessee, and a guy come up afterwards, he says, I think he said he's 25, mid-20s, had 3 kids, just gotten saved a couple years ago and started coming to this church. He said, in the last hour, you undid 12 years of public education for me. I just hugged him. Thank you for saying that. I needed to hear that. Because, you know, you wonder, are we making any difference? And, you know, what can one session on socialism really do? And yet, that's the power of truth. You know, it can go down deep, and it can have an impact. The devil doesn't have anything like that. We've got that. Now, and we've been commanded to get it out there. Let your light so shine. And preach the word. You know, preach the gospel and teach them to observe these things, Jesus said, that I've taught you. And the only reason you know it is because someone taught you. Now turn around and teach somebody else. And so that's the challenge. What can we do? I don't know. But I know we can teach. So I'm going to play a video here. It kind of explains the next phase of our ministry. And I'm just going to talk about it just a little bit when it's done. And then we'll be done tonight. But I just kind of want to recruit you as prayer partners with us. We really need God's wisdom and direction and really covet your prayers. So just add us to your prayer list, please. We're all in this together, amen? We're going to stand together or we're going to fall together. But, you know, whatever happens to this country, it's us. It's our country. And so we do appreciate your prayers, and obviously we'll be praying for you as well. My name is Darren Myers. Several years ago, my family and I started a nonprofit organization called Freedom Focus. We were deeply concerned about the intense war taking place for the heart and soul of this country. There are more and more enemies of freedom who are trying to redefine us and undermine our Declaration and Constitution. For many years now, our mission has been to present truth and preserve freedom. This is based on John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I believe truth is the greatest preserver of freedom, and ignorance is the greatest enemy of freedom. Apparently, our founders believe this too. Thomas Jefferson said, "If we expect to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, we expect what never was and never will be." America is losing its freedom because America is losing the truth. Benjamin Franklin said this, "God grant that not only the love of liberty, but a thorough knowledge of the rights of man may pervade all the nation. Because a nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved." That is a powerful statement. We can say it this way: if ignorance is freedom's greatest enemy, then education is freedom's greatest hope. So, our greatest challenge in this generation is to do a better job of educating our citizens. We live right outside of Branson, Missouri. This really is an amazing place that loves to honor veterans and promote God and country. In fact, I'm told that every year, 8 to 10 million people visit Branson. I had a desire to do a patriotic presentation here that would educate and inspire these visitors. An opportunity opened up for us to rent one of the local theaters, and we put together a program called Freedom Journey. This two-hour show took the audience on a journey through time, from tyranny to the pilgrims to the founding of America, and even took a look at the future of freedom. It was filled with historical quotes, original orchestrations, a gospel music section, and a highlight of America's favorite songs, beginning with Yankee Doodle. We had a lot of fun, but we also told the serious story of man's struggle for freedom. We did this for 5 days during the Veterans Day celebration and sold out every show and had tremendous feedback from the audience. We are really burdened about taking the next step. I've had a vision now for several years to build a walk-through American History Museum. In our travels, we've been to a lot of museums, and I've noticed something. Just like our science museums fail to mention the Creator, our history museums fail to mention the faith of our fathers. This is incredible to me because faith is so foundational to the American system. After all, our national motto is, "In God we trust." Why? Because our founders understood that all political freedom really begins with religious freedom. Our entire system is built on this understanding, and sadly, many of our citizens today have no idea how to connect all of these dots. We want to build a museum that lays out these ideas, supported by the quotes of many of the great voices of history. This fun and interactive journey would cover the value of the individual, the horrors of tyranny, the dreams of the pilgrims, the prayers of the founders, the principles of the founding documents, and the bravery of the military and law enforcement who defend our freedom every day. We want it to be educational, but also emotional and inspiring. There ought to be a place in America where the average person can go and really learn about our founding. We want to build that place. Amazingly, we have recently acquired acres of land on Highway 65, 7 miles north of Branson. This is a prime location with thousands of cars passing by every day. We are currently speaking with consultants and drawing up plans to build Freedom Encounter, Museum of America's Founding. This 40,000 square foot facility will house a walk-through museum, a colonial village for children, and a state-of-the-art theater for hourly films, as well as live patriotic shows. We're building a team of talented architects, historians, graphic designers, and artists to create a space dedicated to teaching the next generation about the exceptionalism of America. We cannot do this alone. This 501c3 nonprofit will take the efforts, prayers, and donations of many great patriots like you. We do believe there is a cause. Our nation is worth it. I'm asking you to consider helping us in any way that you can. First of all, explore our website, which will update you on our vision and our needs. Then would you determine to join us as we impact this generation with the powerful principles of freedom? Thank you for your time and your prayers, and may God continue to bless America. Now that I'm sufficiently scared to death, every time I watch that, I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, honestly, we passed these buildings in Branson. We moved down there about 4 years ago, and, you know, there's all these tourists coming, people. It's kind of a hub for patriots as well as Christians, but, you know, there are more and more attractions being built for young families and such, and A lot of this part of America is coming to that area, and so we've just had this idea that's kind of grown into a burden. And I remember calling Brother Gibbs and saying, what do you think about this? You know, I mean, I've got this idea, kind of need you to talk me out of it. It just seems like there ought to be a place like this. He says, my first question is, how many would you like to build? And I said, oh my goodness, one would be plenty for us to handle, you know. But he said, well, we need one on the East Coast, West Coast, South, North. And so, you know, the Lord has kind of just encouraged us in this. I don't know exactly how it's all going to pan out and what the Lord's doing exactly. That's why I said we really covet your prayers. But so we did that program in Branson last Veterans Day. That'd be a year ago. Well, in April, I got a phone call from this guy who had gone to the show, I don't know what else to call it, program, and he said, hey, I went to that. I think it was the best thing in Branson. I've got this land out here on the interstate, or on 65, and I want to divide it up for a couple of nonprofits that I have in mind. If I was to help you build a building, would you want to do that on a regular basis out here? And I kind of, you know, looked at the phone again and thought, who is this? And talked to him a little bit further to try to figure out who he was and if he's for real. And I said, well, I'll tell you, I'm not really that interested in just doing a Branson show, but I am interested in a museum, and kind of explained that concept to him, where folks can go as slow as they want, read the stuff, see it, feel it, you know, the music, the atmosphere, the inspiration, the emotion of it, and come out the other side saying, oh, I didn't know that's what this was all about, and really get it. And so he liked that idea, and he said, I could probably give 5 acres for that. And so we've been working with him ever since that phone call, and he's helping us raise money, and has already, you know, had bulldozers out there and clearing it off. And it's 54-acre park that he's trying to develop, and then this will be right up at the front. And as it turns out, it's right on the same corner there of 160 and 65 where they just built this cross, which is the largest cross in North America now. And it's as big as a 218-foot white cross right there at the corner of 160. And you kind of get off the outer road and go down to this other land, which is just right there. So we would love to raise up a monument, if you will, a testimony to what God has done here. And certainly not make it out that they were all perfect and everyone did it exactly right. Just give history and use their quotes to tell the story, because it really is inspiring. I mean, how many folks have ever heard these quotes? And yet that is our history, and it's worth repeating. And so we're just asking the Lord to help us. I'm going to close with this quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was the Russian that spent 11 years in a prison camp, came over here. He said, all attempts to find a way out of the plight of today's world are fruitless unless we redirect our consciousness in repentance to the Creator of all. Without this, no exit will be illumined, and we shall seek it in vain. Interesting that God would send a Russian over to say, America, please, don't lose sight of the Creator. That's your only hope. People would ask Solzhenitsyn, what happened to Russia? You know, because it wasn't always a communist dictatorship like that. He said, I'll tell you what happened. We got rid of God. He said, once you do that, everything else comes falling down. That changes everything. And he tried to warn us, don't get rid of God. And if there was a place that could talk about political freedom and personal freedom, and just, you know, this concept of freedom, and use these quotes and point people back to the Creator, that really is our heart. There's a little creation museum right next to us. It's not real big or anything, but he doesn't charge anything. It's very modest. But I think, was it 10,000? I think he said he just reached his 10,000 person to go through. And which, you know, he doesn't really do a lot of advertising, and it's just right there on that same spot. It's just the next property over between the cross and us. And he said, you know, it's amazing how many college kids come through here, atheist groups. So I've really been able to talk to a lot of people. It's kind of amazing, really. And, you know, our burden is to reach people. You know, we live in a culture where people go to museums, and they take their families. And, you know, if it can be as sharp as we can make it and emulate, like the Lincoln Museum in Springfield, Illinois, or even the Creation Museum in Kentucky, those kinds of concepts, and a walk-through timeline and help people get it. That is our burden. Just pray with us that God would make things clear, guide our steps. It's going to take a team of people as well as the finances, but God's encouraged us that, and I know with all my heart that He's more than capable to provide above and beyond what we need. So, you know, if Hollywood can collaborate with all that talent and produce a wicked movie, surely God's people can collaborate and produce something that gives honor and glory to God. And that's what I'm praying about, and we're just focused on this next year, really trying to put time and energy into this. And so I appreciate Pastor letting us come to be able to share that with y'all. And, you know, feel free to stay in touch with us. We do have the sign-up list back there for emails, and we'll be sending out little updates and stuff. But we just appreciate your prayers. And if you're down in that area, you know, let us know, and maybe we'll show you the land or something like that, and you can walk around and pray on it or something, and ask God to do something great there. Let's go ahead tonight and close our eyes, and I'll just close with this challenge. To whom much is given, much is required. And I really don't believe that God put us in the most blessed, free, and prosperous nation the world's ever known, just so we could sit here and be comfortable. What are we doing to make a difference? And everyone's got a different gift, a different calling, but have you fully surrendered and said, God, I don't want to just spend my time down here trying to be comfortable. Use me, help me. I want to stand in the gap for my nation, that you would heal our land. And I guess tonight I'd just say, would you fully surrender? Lord, help us tonight. We're nothing. We're just clay. We're just here. We find ourselves in this big spiritual battle for the nations. And yet we are so blessed. We have access to the truth, to the scriptures, to history, to see these different governments. And then we live in this nation. So blessed. God, convict us tonight. Fill us with courage, that we would stand up for you. Give us a vision of what we can do, investing our time and energy in these last days to point people back to you. Bless this church. Renew their vision. Help them to make a difference in this community, in this city. And may we always trust you and give you the honor and glory and praise for whatever you do in us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.